Blog Talk Radio.
Today, I want to issue a challenge to all my listeners. I just did it on my Facebook page and to my Twitter community, and I want to do the same for you, my listeners, here on the A New Day Show. I want to issue a challenge to you to focus on demonstrating an extra 50% of gratitude. And as a matter of fact, not only for today, but each day, upon arising and see the rising of the sun and the leaves, whatever you see first when you wake up in the morning, if you're looking through your window, I want you to get into the habit of practicing to demonstrate an extra 50% of gratitude. I want to say welcome to today's segment of the A New Day Show. You know, on Wednesday, our focus is on the inspiration, education, and empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. I want to go ahead and welcome guest 689-704 and 708. Welcome to the show. And I want to remind you to mark the show favorite. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. Become a friend of mine on the show so that you can be kept informed of who my guests are. I want to welcome guest 717 to the show as well. Well, my first honored guest is joining us this morning all the way from Canada. And my guest is Susan Windlaw. And I met Susan on the Women in Business community. And it is amazing. Because of technology, we can build relationships anywhere in the world that we find value to be added to anyone. And I was saying to her while we were hanging out in the virtual green room that I did something non-traditional yesterday. When I sent the invite out about her coming on, I sent the invite to only women. And on my second guest for the second hour, I sent his to, I think, a mixed audience. So let's see what the production is today. So I want to also remind you to call in whenever your heart desires to show some love or to ask some questions or make a comment, whatever it is. We always love to welcome you. And the number for that is 646-915-8166. So, without any further delay, I want to take this pleasure to welcome Mrs. Susan Winlaw. Susan, good morning and welcome to today's segment of the New Day Show.
Good morning, Dr. Daphne. How are you?
I am wonderful and I'm super, 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 super excited because it's not very long ago that we have forged a relationship, and I was blessed that you sent me a copy of your book, Movies About Women. And I have not read it, but I've thumbed it through. And I figure, oh my gosh, this is such a magnificent work. Why not get her on to talk about it so women across the world can know what you have created to enhance the lives of us? And before you reply to what I've just said, I want to go ahead and welcome Erlene P., who I know is joining us from Trinidad and Tobago. Erlene, I want to welcome you. Oh, thank you. I want to welcome you. So you see, we are pulling Susan from around the world. And isn't this an amazing thing?
It is fascinating. And you know what? I am so grateful to be on the show today to talk about this, because spreading the word to women about the kinds of movies that are out there, not just the brand new box office hits, but the fantastic movies that have been built over the years for them to be able to watch.
I want to stop you because I don't want you to go into that yet. I want for you to kind of lay the stage for the listeners. I want them to know a little bit about who you are, because you know we are in the business of building relationships. And in order for them to digest everything that you have put together in this magnificent book, they need to connect with you, not only with your work, but to Susan, the woman. And so we want to take a couple of minutes, as many as your heart desire, to just have them connect with you as a person. Tell them who you are. Tell them about your humble beginnings and part of your journey.
All righty. Well, I was born in Woodstock, Ontario. And as I sent you a note the other day, no, it's not the Woodstock. It's kind of close to Woodstock, New York, but not the Woodstock. And I grew up just outside of Woodstock. My father built a house in the country, and that's where I was raised. And my grandparents were farmers in their initial lives. And it was kind of interesting, walking to school, not terribly far, but doing that
wonderful
walk.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And church was a very strong part of our growing up and my life. I'm Anglican, and I think that is Episcopal down in the U.S. And my faith is still very strong with me today.
Amen.
My mom was probably the biggest influence in my life. Wow. And I learned sewing from my mother. And as we grew up, both my mother and my grandmother and my sister, and then my sister-in-law later in life, we all made Barbie doll clothes and did English smocking. And we sold it at the Kitchener Farmers Market every Saturday, rising at 5 a.m. not a time I like to get up now. So did that. And you know what, Daphne? The sewing helped put me through university.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure, Susan, it has helped to mold you into the woman of value that you are today.
Well, you know, creating something and being able to build something that helps other women is always something that I am looking for. I was at university in the 69 to 73, and the women's movement was extremely strong then. And it comes through now, because part of the revenue from the books that my husband and I have built go to help. This particular one is women's shelters. So trying to give back all the time, it's an important factor for all of us.
And as I listen to you, I recall growing up in Jamaica, and you mentioned about the sewing and all of that. I remember when mothers, when a dress that they had was kind of worn and some section even torn, they would cut that dress up and they would use the portion of the fabric that was still good and usable to make a piece of garment for a child. So nothing went to waste.
And you know what? Just yesterday I was watching one of the sewing shows that I tape, and they were taking a man's shirt and they had dyed it, over-dyed it in multiple colors, and sliced the sleeves off and sliced the collar off and turned it into a smock. Decorated it with some glitz and glitter, and it turned into something amazing. And that
That's
was
right.
a castaway that no one would wear anymore.
That's right. That's right. And you remember yesterday when you called me on the phone, I was having lunch with my neighbor, and we were just reminiscing over childhood. My neighbor is in his 70s, and his grandfather came from Italy. And we were just talking about those things, and he said, you know, he was so jealous of his cousins when they visited from Italy, because they grew up with the grandfather. He did not know the grandfather when he was a child, per se. He met him when he was like a man, and he missed that. He said, even until today, I think about it, and I still miss my grandfather. So, you know, going back to basics in our life, it is so important that we can sit and talk about those amazing things. And I know my beginning has fueled me into where I am now. And I know it has done the same thing for you and for the work that you do, Susan. And I just want us to know, shift gears, because people have gotten enough to understand, hey, if Susan can be committed to the work she's doing now, I have no crutch and I have no excuse. I can get up and go do something. So,
yes, you're absolutely right.
Let us talk about your work now. And I look back over the publications that you have done, and they are all for women. How did you get your darling husband to buy into this all-woman stuff?
Well, Daphne, this was my husband's idea. So not only is he my darling husband, he's a man who has had consideration for women and women's feelings for his whole life. He, although he watches some sports, is not one of those guys that has to have the sports on every single minute of the day.
Beautiful.
He has really enjoyed these past few years and the focus that has been on some pretty amazing movies. And they're women-based, they're women-focused, they have strong women characters in them. And they talk about family and faith and the history that comes along with it. As you were talking about the history of, you're talking with your neighbor and growing up with family, a movie came to mind that I had seen last year that we put in the book. It's called Daughters of the Dust. And the director for that is Julie Dash. And it's very different and very interesting, and talks about a variety of women in an island off of the coast of the U.S. and their African heritage. And the generations of women there and what was going on in their lives. It was amazing.
How long does it take for you guys to research to come up with this greater number of magnificent movies for women?
Well, we have been watching movies all of our lives, and the whole book idea has been sort of tailor-made for my husband, who was really a movie aficionado. I always liked watching them, but really my memory of what they are and who the actors are and the actual name of it is a little less than his. But we've been focusing on movies for these three books. We put out movies about weddings last year, movies about Christmas, and movies about women this year. And we've been focusing on it for the past 3.5 years. We probably watch 3 to 4 movies a day, and we're constantly setting our TV and our personal video machines, called TiVo. We've got them set up all the time to record movies throughout all the TV channels that we get.
Wonderful.
So, you know, we've literally looked at thousands of movies over the past few years to try and pull together these ones for these particular books.
Wonderful.
And, of course,
wonderful.
At the same time, we're also pulling movies that are going to be for future books. Like
Wonderful. I want to share this quote here. After my mama died, I was so lonely. I gave my life away just to be held by a stranger. How could I do that? Kerry Russell, and how she came to be pregnant and single. The magic of ordinary days. Isn't that, that's amazing. I like this with all the quotes that you have placed here, because I think a lot of us go to these movies and I think we don't really leave with much out of it. I mean, we go, I think, for the entertainment, but then I figure how many of us learn lessons from that. So I think the way that the book is structured and designed, you go and you see these movies and you can come back and you go through what's here, and it helps to cement the movie inside of you, inside of your lifestyle and who you want to become. Because based on what I have thumbed through here, I am not much of a movie person, right? And I'm not going to embarrass myself to say when was the last time I went to a movie. So no one will hold that against me. And when I do go, most times I'm falling asleep in there anyhow. So this is a great book to have, and more than likely would be a great reason for me to begin to have attending movie as a part of my life, because this is showing me the value in the movies that I will select to go
watch. You're absolutely right, Daphne, and movies about women is the reason we created this, is to pull together movies of mystery, comedy, fantasy, family, biographies, sisters, mothers and daughters, women's themes, women's relationships. And movies about women is not a book that you pick up and read from start to end. Mm-hmm. It's a book that you do thumb through.
Exactly. That's right.
You'll open it up and you'll say, okay, so I wonder what's on this page. Okay, so here's a book, here's a movie called Hanging Up. And it's about some sisters, and they're getting together and they talk to each other on the phone. And what kinds of things can come out of those phone conversations? We wrote the reviews in a completely different way. We've written them for women to be able to get a sense of what that movie is about. And is it a theme that might resonate with me? If I like comedies, then I'm going to be able to find a lot of comedies in this book, because I think you saw at the very beginning of the of movies about women that we broke things up into different categories, and we gave them little codes at the end. But the other thing is, we haven't written these reviews from the typical movie critics role, where they talk about, oh, the cinematography, and it was really dark here, and the lighting, it, all of that. We didn't write it that way. We wrote it to say, you know what, here's what this movie is generally about, and you probably would like it if you like thrillers.
That's right, that's right.
And we
also wanted,
we also didn't want to focus on the big name things that are out there that people already know about. So Eat, Pray, Love is not in this book. It'll be in one of the future ones, but it's not in this one. Because everybody knew about it last year. We're reminding people of movies that people have long forgotten. Movies that hardly got any publicity in the beginning. Because let's face it, the Hollywood big machine that costs millions of dollars, and we're into hundreds of millions of dollars to make, they're not going to make their money back by making a movie about gentle women's things now.
Exactly. You're so right. I want to give you a feedback, because a gentleman in the chat room, he says that he is a movie nut. And, you know, I know he will enjoy this book too, because I know it is about movies for women. However, it is going to be adding value to your families. Because you know something? We as women, we have neglected ourselves for so long. And this book is going to help us to put value back in our lives.
You're absolutely
right. To have some
right.
clean, decent, empowering fun with our family. Something that we'll be able to talk about over the dinner table, over the picnic table, out in the park, walking.
It is going
to be able to stimulate energetic and valuable dialogue in your family. So I tell you, this is a magnificent, magnificent, magnificent piece of work.
Thank you very much. And you know what? For those kinds of movies, movies that women are looking for, but you know, they don't want something risque. They don't want something that's got overt sexuality in it. Try finding, and it's really hard to find, but there are various copies out there. Try finding Independence Day from 1983 with Kathleen Quinlan in it. You know what? It's not filled with monsters coming in from outer space where guys are shooting things up and blowing things up and killing people. It's a really lovely movie. About a hometown girl and what she has to do with her life. It's just lovely. And how about the entire Love Comes Softly series? It's a series of faith-based westerns, pioneer-type movies. When you are taken back to those simpler days, and we say simpler because there's no technology in it.
That's right.
Let's face it, simpler was a lot harder on the women then than it is on our women today.
Suzanne, I'm going to ask you to stick a pin, take a sip of water, stick a pin right there, and mark your thoughts.
All righty.
Hello and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right, and I also want to ask you to save the dates. March the 22nd through the 25th, we'll be hosting the Entrepreneurial Vision Weekend Conference in New York City. We are winding down with all the confirmation of the speakers are coming in, so we should be ready to launch in a few weeks. So mark your date, and we have a call out for vendors. Send us a message on Facebook or send me an email, dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com. If you are interested in being a vendor, tell us what your products and or services are, and we will send you out the information that you need for that. So again, the date for that is March the 22nd through the 25th in New York City. And I want to remind you, you can call in at any time of the conversation by dialing 646-915-8166. Computer guy, it's been a while. I haven't seen you. Welcome back. Welcome to my brother, Michael K., for joining. Guests 828, 708, and 704 to the chat. And back now to my honored guest, Suzanne Winlaw. Back to you, Suzanne.
Thanks very much. And we're talking about movies about women, where real women share stories of life and love. And that real is spelled R-E-E-L.
Isn't it wonderful? You always hear so much conversation about real men don't do that and real men don't do this. Well, I'm so glad we are having the conversation about real women. And
yes,
love, to know that love is still out there. You know, I lost a very close friend of mine back in April.
Mm-hmm.
And a lady was talking to me at church and I was crying. And she looked at me. She laid her hands on my shoulder and she said, "Daphne, sweetheart," she said, "at least you found love twice in the same place. I'm 55 and I still have not found love yet." And I braced myself and I took a deep breath and I said, "You know, look, I have something to be grateful for." So I just dry my tears. So I'm glad that you are talking about women who have experienced love and show us the way that we can go and experience it as well if we so desire. So, yeah, go ahead.
No, it's okay. That was just my husband in the background.
Okay, tell him we're going to have to put a muzzle on him. So what are some of the feedback that you have gotten? When was this book published? And what are some of the feedback and reviews that you have gotten from people?
Well, I think the people who have gotten the book have looked at it and said it's a tremendous resource book. It allows people to be able to go out into a video store or to go on to Netflix and dial up something that they've seen in the book and find it and watch it. You know, our lives have changed so much over the years. We used to be able to only have one movie theater in town, and that was the only time we got to go and see a movie. And it was a special treat. And our lives are so different now with having video stores everywhere. And the TV with, we used to have three channels only, you know. There was ABC, NBC, CBS, three channels. And everyone in North America pretty much saw the same movie at the same time. And if you were not home on Thursday night at 9 p.m. when the movie started, well, you just missed the movie.
Missed out.
But it's
not anymore.
Totally at our fingertips. And the thing is about women's movies is Hollywood isn't making them anymore.
Why is that so? Why do you think that women movies get jilted, if you may?
Women's movies get jilted because it costs so much to make a big Hollywood movie based on all of the history that's gone on with Hollywood They have a giant machine at the present moment that has to be fueled. And it is involving the fact that there are so many unions for every single small entity in the film. Did you know that the directors are in a union? The the producers have a union. Mm-hmm. The water carriers have a union.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look at a movie from the 30s or 40s or even 50s, the number of screens of credits that roll by are maybe two, maybe three screens. And now when you see a movie, there are like almost 5 minutes of credits. I mean, they have been adding and adding and adding roles, not necessarily actor-type roles, but roles of people that have to do things in the movies, and they're paid a lot of money. We saw something recently on one of the movies, and we don't even know what this is. What do you suppose a hair puncher is?
A hair puncher?
A hair puncher.
H-A-I-R?
H-A-I-R, puncher. We don't even know what it is, but maybe it's somebody who poofs up a specific hairstyle. They got a credit at the end of the movie. So that means all those people are getting extra money. I mean, one example of a movie out there that had gotten a lot of money and a lot of recognition was Hot Tub Time Machine. Now, in that movie, one of the stars, John Cusack, he has five personal assistants. They probably all have special dietary needs. And all the people that supply every element of it are union paid and make a lot of money. Now, they've got pensions. So now a movie is multi-millions of dollars. In order to recoup the cost of that, movies must be made for more than the North American audience.
Yeah, and that's why the family can hardly afford to go to the movie now.
You're
because if you have
right.
four or five people in the family, and by the time you think about
the ticket
and the snack and you have to drive there, that's why people just stay home and really don't go. But based on your experience and commitment in this arena, what do you think we as a people can do to begin to shed some kind of light on these practices? Not that we will get a result in our lifetime, but at least there will be a legacy that we can begin to create to have people being aware that, yes, we can make a difference in this area. What are some other things you would like to see us do? I think
as women, the biggest thing that we can do is to support women's type movies. Anytime we see them, and more are being made for television, and they're being made as small indie movies. If anyone ever sees a woman's movie being advertised, tell your friends. Get other people to go to see that movie and write about it. Yeah, put it on Facebook. Gee, I just saw the best women's movie. It was about women overcoming diversity. It were women overcoming challenges. And I want everybody to know about it. So get out there and find it in your local store.
You know, that's what Mary Kay Ash said. Mary Kay Ash was the owner of Mary Kay Cosmetics. And she says, you want news to go around, just tell a woman. You don't got to pay for any commercial. Just tell a woman because she like it. She said, when you go and see a sale, what do? You call your girlfriend and you tell her about it. And it's the same thing.
And
just
if we
keep telling each other. Yes.
If we tell our women friends about the movies that are going on that we like and we enjoy and pull together, have a girlfriend's in party. I mean, the economy is still not pretty. So why not find and rent one of these movies that are in the book, a movie that has been long forgotten? What about finding the color purple or Quinceanera? And having a bunch of girlfriends in and sitting and watching that movie, having some fun, enjoyment, and laughing about it.
That's
just
right.
Enjoying
That's right.
it and enjoying
That's
the
right.
friendship that we can share.
That's right. We can make there. Because people do it with book clubs and everything. So why not do it with the movie? And I like what you mentioned about writing, because that's something that we shy away from too. We don't like to put stuff in writing, and we need to do that. Don't be afraid to write something. Nobody's asking you that it has to be a thesis. But just express your sentiment that it's your experience that you're sharing, because you're telling me about what your experience is, and I'm going to go to that movie and I'm going to form my own opinion and then share my experience. So that's
exactly.
powerful.
And,
I like
and
that.
And you know what our book does is it lets people know what the guideline is. And what's going on in that film so that they can go and see it. They can find out some really enriching things. They can see movies of inspiration. And the movies that were made many years ago have an amazing amount of value. There's a movie out from 1942 called Now Voyager. It's Bette Davis. It is just an amazing movie to see what she went through and how she triumphed. Just lovely movie. A movie called Nobody's Child that was directed by Lee Grant stars Marlo Thomas. And it is just raw with emotion and how she overcame mental illness, and it's amazing. I can barely even talk about it. It's just
I
so
want
wonderful.
I want to switch gears, and I want for you to tell us, since you have been concentrating your time, majority of your time, on the project of selecting and creating this book of movies about women. And I can hear and I can detect the passion when you speak about it. As you look back over the years that you have increased the time spent of watching movie in order to develop this book, if you would say list some values, some added value that you are now experiencing in your life, in the life of your family, and in other relationships because of your work on this book, what would this list look like?
Well, I think that a lot of things have come out of it. I think I've got a more concentrated appreciation of the trials and tribulations that women of diversity have had to go through. If anybody has seen the little movie Ruby Bridges, it is about a young child in the South, and she is black, and the hatred that has gone on, and how she, as a very young child, pulled from her internal beliefs that her parents had taught her to overcome all odds. It's amazing. And you cannot help but be changed by seeing many of the films that are there. I think I have a kinder approach when I'm seeing someone on the street who has fallen on hard times. I don't necessarily walk by anymore. I may not have money to hand that person, but I might buy them a coffee and a muffin and sit and talk to them for a moment. That's probably worth more than handing them $2 in their cap. And supporting women who have had abuse, heaped upon them, whether it's physical or mental, it's still abuse. You see so much of that in some of the films. And actually, the women's movies are the ones that show you the inspiration on the off side of it. The movies that are more male-based are more of a women-bashing kind of thing, and there's not as much joy that can come out at the end. So we're always seeing a variety of things, but, you know, the biographies are amazing. You just have to know about them, and that's where movies about women, our book, can help. They can help people find the kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. I listen as you share each point, and I'm sitting and I'm thinking, wow, depending on one's experience and the journey you are on or have been on, this can be a self-help book for you as well, depending on your selection of movie. Because what I heard you just share is a transformed life. So this is not only a book of movies for entertainment. It's a book that can help you to transform who you are or who you would love to become.
Exactly.
And this is powerful. This is powerful.
It also shows in the joy that women get from being with other women on connecting at a very deep level. You see
yep.
that in quite a few of the films. A lot of girlfriends getting together. You can see it in the film, and it makes you want to call your girlfriends together and
yep.
just have an evening together.
Yes,
to laugh,
you know,
and experience joy.
There are six. There are six women at my church. We call ourselves sisters in the spirit, and two of the women out the group are married. The rest of us are single. And this past Saturday, I called one of the women up, and she came over, and we were out there talking. And she looked at me and she said, "You know, this feels so good that we can sit and have adult conversation, woman to woman, sister to sister." And I look and I said, "My God, this is so true. This is so powerful." You know, one of the ladies in the group, she says, you know, when we celebrate each other's birthday by going out and everything, and we decided we should not have to wait for a year to come around when we do things. And this other friend, she's so good at just calling us over to just get together and just sit and chat, and she loves movie too. And when Sherry and I go there, we don't want to be watching the movie. We want to talk. So you are so right about when women get together. Somebody wrote something in the chat room. Let me see what it says. The best women films in my eyes is Hillary and Jackie. What's hers? Okay, she's the gentleman in the chat room, one of the men in the chat room, Susan, that's what
yeah.
he wrote. That's the best in his, the best women films in my eyes is Hillary and Jackie. And he's asking, what's yours? What's the best women film in yours?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even think I could pull out a best.
Wow.
There's a lot of movies that get to me deeply in my core.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the movies that has been so powerful for me in researching this book was Westward, The Women.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that particular movie talked about a lot of women who decided that they were living in the East Coast of America, in the Chicago area, that kind of time frame. And they're around the 1850s, and they were not going to get a prospect of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much their only chance of making a career, a life together.
Mm-hmm.
They were perhaps less attractive looking. They were certainly not from wealthy families where the whole society could pull together and create marriages.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to leave that life, leave the family, leave whatever they had, and travel west.
Mm-hmm.
They walked.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking most of them in carriages.
Listen.
They walked.
Susan, tell your husband he needs to write a note because he's I'm picking him up on the recording.
Can hear him in the background?
Yes.
So
tell him to write you a note if he wants to give you feedback. He can't be speaking because we're picking it up. So go ahead. Yeah. Continue on your thought, please. Yes.
Yeah. So westward the women, and what they've got to do is actually get some manager to take them across.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to bring at least a third more women than there were men in California in this western town that
mm-hmm.
wanted the women to come because they knew they would lose that many through the trials and tribulations that they would go through.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was the danger of Indian invasion and killing them, but
mm-hmm.
just the sheer hardship of the trip. That movie, I believe, looking at it, has been the most
mm-hmm.
impactful for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then if I want to take my romantic side and women who care deeply about other women, there's a movie from India, and the name of it is Dor, D-O-R. It was done in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the story about two separate women in different areas of India. One woman's husband actually leaves her area to go to work for this other woman's husband. And through it, the other woman's husband is killed. Inadvertently, but it doesn't matter, the blame has been put.
Mm.
And it's the story of these two women, they're coming together, and how a forgiveness can happen.
Mm.
Very powerful. Very,
mm.
very powerful.
Oh, yes. Michael says, he said Dor is brilliant. So he knows
yes.
what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's powerful. That's powerful. That is powerful. Have you found out that majority of the movies that you have selected for this volume are based on some true stories or no?
No, I wouldn't think so. There's a lot that are in there that are biographies,
mm-hmm.
but I would think the bulk of them are complete and total fiction.
Yes, 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 yes. All right, I tell you, time goes by when we're having fun. So this is good conversation, and I just know that because of this conversation, it will enhance the way that we as women, especially as women, begin to select the movies that we now view. So what I want for you to do, we have 11 minutes remaining in this segment, and we will continue our dialogue until my other guests call in. So what I want you to begin to do now, Suzanne, is to just summarize the high points about movies about women that you want to leave the women with. And I know that this book would make a great birthday gift or Christmas gift or something. And then at the end of your summary, just tell the listeners where they can pick the book up and all of that great stuff.
All righty. So what I really want to say is that Movies About Women is a book that pulls together not the top 500 movies, but 500 movies that can inspire you, provide you with thought-provoking ideas, will show you lives of women, whether they are true or whether they're made up, that can lead you in different roads, can perhaps inspire you to take a specific career choice, can show you that it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, you can take control of your life. Even if you've been hurt by other people, you can take control of that life because it's yours to make your choices of. And our book, Movies About Women, is just the first step to provide you with a lot of entertainment, a lot of good times with friends, a lot of family enjoyment. Movies About Women is one of our volumes. Movies About Weddings is another volume. We decided to do it because we could see a trend in wedding movies that were leaning towards men and women bashing. So we wanted to remind women about all the amazing wedding movies that were done years ago. And I don't really mean necessarily all the way down to the 30s, but I mean all the way through the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, but we're not bashing women. So that aspect. And then movies about Christmas, where family can come together. Family is important. Faith is important. I think if people are looking for me, they can find me in a variety of places. First of all, I'm approachable on Facebook, and thank you so much for posting my picture on your site, because that picture is the same one that I use on Facebook and LinkedIn. And Susan Winlaw is the name. Movies About Women can be found at our website, www.moviesaboutwomen.com. And that's women in the plural, W-O-M-E-N. And they can also find it at bampress.com. That's our publishing site, www.bampress.com. And you know, Daphne, I want to share with the listeners out there the fact that we are constantly looking for movies that inspire, movies about women, movies that are G-rated, that are family-based, or just movies that you think are thought-provoking and exciting that you want to share. We would invite people to send us the information so that we can try to find it and put it in one of our future volumes of our book.
You know,
get a whole...
Okay, I forgot. I forgot Michael in the chat room. I forgot he was Canadian. He just so proud. He just said, "Yay, another Canadian!" I had to interject with that. Yes, yes.
And you know what?
The other
thing that's important is that we tried to focus on women directors. You know, women are outnumbered in many roles and careers where danger is involved. Totally understand, because a woman's body generally is not as strong as a man's. Now, I'm not saying not all women, but as a general nature. So there's not too much danger going on in being a movie director. So why is it that there are so few women directors working today?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't used to be that way, but it certainly is now. So we as women need to support movies that have been made by women,
movies that
are for women, and tell everybody about it so that we can continue to have small independent movies made or movies on television made for women.
Suzanne, Michael wants me to let you know about, I'm not sure how, I think it's Darren, D-A-R-Y-N, Struss, and Julie Emery. women filmmakers making big waves in the market. Their names are Darynstruss mm-hmm. and Julie, Emery. Thank you, Mr. Michael.
And Michael, if I can speak directly to you, thank you for the comments. If you could connect with me on Facebook and send me that information, that would be fantastic.
You know,
Just remind me about the fact that you were hearing me on the show.
Yes. And I own 99% of him, so you're going to have to go through me to get to him. it's amazing. But, you know, what an amazing conversation it is. I want to thank you, Suzanne, for investing not only in my vision, but also in the vision and focus of my listeners and to enhance their life. And I think Michael said he just did. That means he already connected with you on Facebook. He's not going to let you go away because he's so proud that you're a Canadian. And he's my brother from another mama. And I just love him so much. So, Suzanne, again, I am so appreciative of the time that you took to be with us this morning. And,
well, Daphne, I think you started it off by having your listeners know that we need to start each day throwing an extra 50% of gratitude into it.
Yes.
And I believe in that so much.
Yes.
We, each of us, have so much to be grateful for.
Yes, it is so
true. My mother said, every day is an adventure.
Yes.
Every single moment of the day is an adventure. And your adventure might be pretty tiny. Perhaps getting out to the grocery store and seeing some interesting things on the shelves and sampling a couple of tasty things that they're offering in the store. That might be your adventure.
That's right.
You know what? Make it as big as you can and enjoy every minute of it.
All right. So I look forward. My other guest is holding. I will be with you in a second. I just need to do a little commercial break. And Susan, I look forward to our relationship blossoming and adding value in whatever way we can to each other. Keep doing God's work, my sister.
Thank you, Daphne.
All right. So what amazing conversation. That was Susan Winlow.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right. So, Mr. Cassin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, Dr. Daphne. How are you today?
I am wonderful. I want to thank you for joining us, and I tell you, we have our pads and paper ready because we all need to know how we're going to go there and deal with all those difficult people and get to close this sale and all of that. I know you're a very busy man, and I've been watching your work for a number of years. I know we crossed paths at an event here in Connecticut some years ago, and you have been diligently sending me your newsletters over the year, and they always have added value to what I do. So to be having you in this conversation to today, it's a real blessing. So I thank you for that.
Well, my pleasure. I always enjoy discussing this topic.
Yes. Will you please take a little time and introduce yourself to the listeners and let them know who you are and where you hail from and all of that great stuff.
All right. Well, I've spent most of my life in Connecticut. And I graduated from college with an undergraduate degree in the theater. degree in the performing arts, and I promptly moved down to New York City, and after pounding the pavement for several months, secured a position with a classic repertory company by the name of the New Globe Theater. And I toured with that company in the United States for about 2 years. The director was Stuart Vaughn. He and Joseph Papp were the ones that founded Shakespeare in the Park many, many years ago. So it was a great thrill to come out of college and actually get a job in my field. And after working that a couple of years, I just felt that that wasn't for me for the rest of my life.
Mm.
And I went back to my university and went to the career counseling department, which was just a wonderful experience that I would recommend to anyone. And I took several interest inventories, these instruments that help you assess what you truly are interested in and what you might be very effective at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And to my surprise and my dismay, sales popped up very strongly in my profile. And at that point, my vision of salespeople was that they were not to be trusted.
You're talking about the car salesman and all of that stuff. You know, all the labels that people have to say. Isn't that amazing? And we are all salespeople.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, I completely agree. Although I have to say, in defense of society, I would have to say that many salespeople for quite some time have been very self-centered.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right about that. You're so right about that. But isn't it amazing when you get those aha moments? You know, I do a lot of work around people identifying their true calling and purpose and everything. And I tell clients all the time, I say, it's not rocket science to find out what it is your calling and your purpose is, because it is always that thing that keeps you awake at night, and that's the thing that aggravates you when you're walking on the street, and that thing just rub you the wrong side when everybody else think it is all right. So I know it was an amazing aha moment for you when you realized, oh my gosh, there's something else I'm called to do. I don't have to be sitting here where I don't enjoy. I can go out and make a difference in this area.
Yeah, absolutely. And fortunately, the woman that had administered these instruments, I told her, I said, I just can't see myself being in sales. I just have such a negative perception of salespeople. And she said, I can appreciate that, but you may want to do a little research, because perhaps your perception could be, you could open your mind up a little bit. And she pointed out to me that there were many sales professionals who in fact did care about their buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Sales professionals that went about it from the standpoint of helping people get what it is they want, to sort through the different options and ultimately land on what they really need and want. And then she explained to me that these folks have an enormous amount of freedom in their life and they can express themselves. So she suggested a couple of books and a couple magazines and said, why don't you make a commitment to check these out?
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And I'm very, very grateful for her, because you used the term an aha moment or an epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
I truly had one and opened my eyes up to sales. And since 1984, I've had an absolutely wonderful career in sales.
Wow. Amazing, amazing. So now with my listeners hearing all of this, it has now prepared us to really hone into what you're about to share with us. Because for all of us, myself included, we need to understand how to and get some tools and some tips about how to close that sale. Because we do a great opening and all of that stuff, and when it comes down to closing the sale, we are terrified.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you help us?
Well, I'd like to ask you your opinion. When you say that you're terrified, can you tell me a little bit about that feeling and where you think that's coming from?
No, I'm not saying that I am literally terrified. Well,
yeah.
However, but I, based on my past experience and with people that have been terrified, it has to do with some past experiences that the individual has had around asking for money or some issues around money. It's either some people think I'm not deserving or I am not worthy of accepting X amount of money. So the value that they have placed on themselves or on their product or service, they still need to accept that and to know that I'm worth every bit of it. I'm adding value to this other person that I'm looking to enter into this relationship with. So it has a great deal of it has to do with self acceptance. And do you have yourself on a pedestal or you have yourself in the trenches is the bottom line.
Well, I think you're very insightful, and I think that really what you just outlined is at the heart and soul of it. One of the things that I have become fascinated with over the years is interviewing people, as you do. It's so exciting to talk with other people. I've been interviewing top executives, presidents, company owners. I've been interviewing salespeople that are both highly successful that are struggling, and also other very successful people, a father and a mother. Individuals that seem to have an understanding of how the world works and communication and interpersonal people that have strong interpersonal skills. And I have to say that in line with what you've just outlined, the ones that are highly effective, they do have a positive self-esteem. They realize that they are not superior to others, but they are very clear that they are, in fact, not inferior to anyone.
That's right. That's right.
And because that perspective, I think, is very, very helpful to us. What do you think?
Yeah, because until we can accept who we are and what we bring to the table, no one will be able to buy into what we have. So we first have to buy into who we are and what we are about. Because if you have another perspective on that, that's what people are seeing. So you got to prepare yourself first. This is why I tell people, you got to work on you before you step out the door to work on somebody else. Because you cannot go there to work on somebody else if you aren't ready.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think Emerson said we become what we think about.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's really true. So now let's link this to business. My thoughts and observations. Excuse me, I have a little allergies this season. pardon me. So what I've observed is that with the advent of the internet, information fundamentally has escaped. And what that means is that typically today when a buyer, whether it's they're interested in buying a home, whether they're interested in buying an automobile, a software package, finding a new doctor, they will first go to the internet. You can take a virtual tour of a home today if you're considering buying a new house. So the point is that they do not go to the salesperson first.
That's right. They did the research.
They go to the internet to get information. Now, years ago, before markets were so crowded, you know, today you can buy a telephone from many companies. There's a bank on every corner. There's many attorneys and doctors to choose from. There is no shortage of people to buy services and products from. And years ago, many years ago, that was not the case. It was more of a seller's marketplace. And at that point, companies were very wise to put a lot of feet on the street, so to speak, to send salespeople out, knocking on doors with their product sell sheet in their hand, and show as many people as possible the product. And that's, in fact, how they went about selling. Today, it's very, very different. That approach really is ineffective today. Because people and companies can go buy a product from so many different options, Now what they're looking for is they're looking for a unique distinction. They want the product, not the product rather, but the individual and the organization to stand out somehow. And really what they want is they want the individual and the company to demonstrate very clearly that, A, they care about them, that, B, they have experience in the issues, C, that they're willing to help, and D, that they, in fact, have the experience to do so. And buyers today are looking for value in insights, ideas, solutions beyond the actual physical product.
I want to piggyback on one thing you said, and I want to give a little insight about a conversation I had with a gentleman last week in Florida. I grew up in Jamaica, West Indies, and you mentioned about attorneys and doctors. I grew up in a society where when you have a legal issue, regardless of what it was, you go into this attorney's office. And it could be dealt with. Last will and testament, real estate, everything. Now, you have attorneys who specialize in all different aspects. And that's something new that I have to get accustomed to. It's not a one stop anymore. Just last week, a gentleman who used to live here in Connecticut had a very prominent role here in Connecticut. About 3 years ago, he relocated to Florida. And I'm not going to say his name because he didn't give me permission to disclose what we're going to talk about. And we were talking last week about the strides he was making in Florida. And he pointed out to me that 3 years ago, when he relocated to Florida, people that he had approached about his service and who, as he put it, closed the door in his face, those are the people who are now calling him. And when he made the remark to me, he was not saying it with a tone of appreciation. And I pointed out to him after I detected some kind of disgust in the statement, I said to him, do you realize that those people took the time that you were there for the long haul, that you were not just going to turn up now and then disappear? They took the time to invest in building a relationship with you, and now they can do business with you. And he said, oh, I never look at it like that. I said, look, back in Connecticut, when you stepped into the role that you have built to, the standard you built it to before you left there, it was just like that in the beginning. I said, how easily do we forget? We want people to just do it right now, and we don't look about. They want to build a relationship, and they want to have a clear understanding about how you make them feel. Do I want to be in a relationship with you? Do I want to do business with you? Ah, now I love you and I trust you. I'm going to spend some money with you. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that that's one of the major changes. When I work with salespeople, whether it's one-on-one to coach them or I'm teaching a class of 20 to 100 people or I'm doing a keynote speech with a couple hundred salespeople in the audience, I emphasize to them that how it's changed, that the bar has been raised, that because people can get products from many, many different sources and the pricing is so similar, that those two areas are not where the buyer looks today for value.
Exactly, exactly.
And one of the areas that they look for, as you indicated, is trust. And I think today that salespeople, as they're studying closing techniques and how to leave a good voicemail, I think right along with that, they should be reading and studying how to establish credibility. Because that is the beginning point today. And a lot of salespeople, as you indicated, are impatient. they're still looking at commission dollars, mm-hmm. and they need to put that aside and have faith mm-hmm. that if they do establish credibility and they work to serve that individual and truly understand their needs, that they will make sales and the money will come.
That's right. You know, I will not forget a lady that, a nice lady that goes to my church, and she had switched careers from whatever she was doing, and she became a real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited when I saw her at church. I called her by her first name. I said, "How is it going?" "Oh, please, I haven't sold anything yet." So next 2 weeks, I saw her again, and I was excited and bubbly. Asked her again. And she said the same thing. And the third time I asked her and she said the same thing, I said, "Hold on, stop." I said, "You know the reason you're not selling anything? Because people are staying away from you because they see that your eyes and your focus and your attention is in their pocketbook." I said, "They need to see that you want to make a difference in their lives and the lives of their family to begin to show interest in what you are showing." I said, "You are showing people property and they go buy from somebody else." And she looked at me and she said, "Who in my office you know and who are you talking to?" I said, "No, I'm not talking to anybody. But I know as a buyer myself, somebody who wants to do business with somebody, I know what I'm looking for." And I said, "I'm a touchy-feely type of person." And I said, "If you can work on my emotion and let me feel good, I'm staying away from you."
Yeah, it's really true. And to take that thought a step further, I think sales professionals have to ask ourselves, okay, so if I buy into the concept that credibility and trust is important, if I buy into what you just said, that I must establish a relationship so that someone feels comfortable with us, how do I go about doing that? And as I interview many buyers, what I find is that they really demand today that whoever they deal with has good business skills as well.
Mm-hmm.
So using this example of a woman who's selling real estate, buyers that talk to her, potential buyers, they're going to want her to demonstrate knowledge in several areas. If they have children, they expect the real estate agent to have a very clear understanding of the school system,
mm-hmm.
how its accreditations and how they're doing on mastery tests and average age of teachers. The more that real estate agent knows about that school system, the more they're going to establish credibility and trust in the eyes of that potential buyer.
Mm-hmm. And you know something? What the agents also need to understand is that they need to be accurate on that, because the
yeah.
buyer already researched it and know what it is. So what they're actually looking for is an affirmation on your part. So you have to let them know that, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. You
it's
know?
Really true. And that goes back to the fact that perhaps they've been on a website and they've done some research and they're looking for
yes.
an affirmation, and that establishes trust. That's that they're testing us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that agent needs to understand what kind of projects are happening in town. Are there any big
yes.
corporations that are looking to move into town?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are there any hazardous waste areas in town? As
yes.
you said, we're looking to make a difference in someone's life, and the only way
mm-hmm.
we can make a difference is if we really study and we've got knowledge, and now we can truly establish trust.
That's right. That's right. So if I may ask you to, let's just slightly switch gears a little bit.
Yeah.
As you look on an entrepreneur, because a lot of time people will look and say, "Oh, well, oh, you know, he's just dealing with the big corporations and the big salespeople," and each of us as entrepreneurs are salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
How can you help us to create an environment for ourselves where we can be closing the sales better? Can you give us a few ground rules, if you may, that if we begin to practice these, it will get us to improve what we got to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's break this into two pieces, if that's okay.
Sure.
Let's say that the first piece, we focus on the art of persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second piece, let's actually relate it to closing a sale for services and product. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Because I think that there are a lot of people that feel extremely uncomfortable with the concept that we are all salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
We are, but let me define that a little bit and get your opinion as well. Because selling typically, I mean, frankly, the word selling is really antiquated in 2011. Selling goes way back to when a salesperson was really trying to manipulate someone to close a sale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the term selling came from. It really goes way, 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 way back. Sales managers would say, do not leave that person's home. Do not leave that person's office until you, in fact, have closed the sale. And that really forced salespeople to really get in the face of these prospects and be overly aggressive and manipulative. Now, the art of persuasion, I'm hoping that every listener would agree that during the day, whether you are a mom or a doctor or a teller at a bank, you are going to be faced with having to persuade someone to see something your way. Would you agree with that?
Of course, of course.
Whether you're an employee going into your boss and asking for more budget money because you need to hire someone else on your staff, or you're a mom going to a PTA meeting, encouraging the listeners at the PTA to have a new kind of Halloween party for the children in town, whether you've been, we could just go on and on and on with the real life simple examples of how every day we are faced to persuade or convince someone that
mm-hmm.
our perspective will be the best for all. That is the art of persuasion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Inherent in that is the need to understand who we're talking with. And this is many times where it begins to fall apart. Because mm-hmm. we'll go into a meeting and we will take our position and we will argue it with great passion and commitment and, in essence, steamroll or override the concerns and the feelings of others that are in that room. And the first thing to do is to understand the perspectives of the other person, what their objectives are, and then work with that individual to persuade them, yes, but also help them see how your idea will, in the end, help them accomplish what it is they want. And that is fundamentally the art of persuasion. Now, take that into a sales environment. Let's say we're selling cellular telephones or office equipment or financial planning services. It really doesn't matter. The same holds true. We're trying to persuade this individual that not only is our product and service going to help them get what it is they want, but that we are the individual that possesses the wherewithal to make that happen. So what's my point? My point is it starts with them, not with us.
Exactly, exactly. I just enjoy the full statement that you just said, because a lot of times people look at me and they say, oh, you're always dressed up. And I jokingly reply and say, because I don't know when I'm going to meet my $10 million client. And I said, I don't have time to go back home to get ready when I meet them. So I always have to be ready. And as I listen to you explain about the art of persuasion, it is so true. And a lot of time you are persuading people indirectly, because people are watching you from a distance and they are studying what you are about. So when they eventually approach you, they are just approaching you to affirm what they have already thought about you
mm-hmm.
in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true. I mean, it's a little bit discerning and unsettling how quickly we pass judgment on other people.
Yes. That's...
But it is a reality, and we must accept it if we're going to be successful in business and in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example. One of the quickest ways to establish credibility or to completely lose it in a business setting is to ask a question which is irrelevant.
So
I encourage, you asked me what advice can I give the entrepreneurs listening to elevate their ability to connect and persuade and be more successful in establishing credibility and trust so they can sell more of their products and services. They need to prepare intelligent and relevant questions far in advance of meeting anyone. So one would say, well, what are the if I haven't met them yet, how do I know what the questions are?
No, because they. I mean, you need to know the right questions to ask to get the answers. So it doesn't matter where you're going to be meeting the person. If you already have in your mind, you know what you are going to look for. So you design your questions based on that. And so long as they are tangible questions, you are going to get the results.
Yeah, I remember years ago I did a sales training program for Worcester Publishing. They own the Hartford Business Journal and they own Main Biz, it's a magazine. And prior to doing any training, I always interview leaders and some of the salespeople so I can tailor the presentation, tailor the program. And I was speaking with the publisher of Main Biz, and I asked her, hey, when it comes to your best customer, what is your sweet spot in terms of how much revenue do they generate annually? How much sales do they make? And there was a pause on the line, and I could tell that I didn't make a connection. She said, Duane, that's not the right question.
Wow.
And I said, well, what do you mean? What's the right question? She said, the size of the company is not relevant to us. It's the audience that they want to reach. That's what's important.
Oh.
She said, let me give you an example. People that advertise in our magazine are children's clothing stores, small wine shops, a one-man attorney's office, an eye doctor. She said, these people, it's not about how much money they make a year. It's what they do and who they need to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized in an instant was that I projected to her that I didn't understand her business, didn't I?
Exactly. And if you had not had that free conversation with her, you would have gone to that presentation asking the wrong question and delivering the wrong question.
That's exactly right. So my advice to all of us is as we're going to meet with someone, ask ourselves, who are they? What
exactly
is their business?
Mm-hmm.
What is it likely they want to achieve? What is their agenda? How are they looking to grow and advance and be better? And then create questions that project that we understand a little bit about their world versus what I did in an instant. I projected that, you know, I really don't understand her business.
Right. And, you know, like, a lot of time I simply put it like, I need to identify the problem that I'm needing to solve for them. Because if I cannot resolve the issue that they are faced with, I can't help them. And I have to ask the right questions. That's wonderful. I want to take a slight, I need to take a commercial break and I'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right, I want to remind you that you can call in at any time with your question, remarks, or feedback. You can do so by calling 646-915-8166. And I also want to remind you to save the dates of March the 22nd through the 25th for the Vision Weekend Entrepreneurial Conference in New York City. We have a call out for vendors. If you're interested in being a vendor, send us a message on Facebook or even right here on the radio site, and we will tell you how you can become part of that. So again, save the date for March 22nd through the 25th in New York City. And my guest, I'm now in conversation with Mr. Duane Cashing out of Connecticut. So if you're just joining us, welcome to the show. I want to welcome guests 704 and 708 to the chat. Okay, well, back to you, Mr. Cashin.
Yes, well, I think that you're making a distinction between large businesses. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. I cut out. I didn't hear you cut back.
I think that it's important to make a distinction between calling on and working with small businesses as opposed to large corporations.
Yeah, because my focus and emphasis and goal on this show is to educate, empower, and inspire entrepreneurs and small business people. And I know that it's a delicate line now that we kind of have to mold entrepreneurs to understand that it's the same thought process. Whether you're a big corporation or you're a small business or an entrepreneur, there are certain basic rules. And if you adhere to those basic rules and guidelines, you will be successful in what you have to do. Especially now that the globe is our marketplace. Because we are building relationships in other countries, and we need to know how to do it. And from that perspective alone, it puts you in the big playing field with other larger businesses. So you cannot look on yourself as only doing business in your zip code now. You got to look at it from a global perspective.
Yeah, that's really true, and I think it's also important to keep in mind that a common factor, whether you're calling on a large corporation or you're calling on a small company, the common factor is that there are people involved.
Exactly. That's the bottom line.
That is
the bottom line.
Yeah, and it's real important to keep that in mind. The other thing I observe along those lines of dealing with people, the other thing I observe among very successful entrepreneurs is the ability to assess the personality styles of the people that
mm-hmm.
they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You indicated earlier that when you told us about your experience in your home country, that an attorney could handle all different types of transactions. And that today people are much more specialized.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world is becoming one of specialization, and in that, people want to be treated as individuals. There's a trend in the United States, anyway, toward buyers wanting the experience to be customized to them.
Exactly, exactly.
We see
that.
What
can you do for me? Yep.
Yeah, we see that on Nike's website. You can design your own sneaker. We see that I think that I was going down the highway the other day and noticed a restaurant billboard.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Denny's, perhaps, that said you can design your own omelet, whatever you want.
Wow.
Whatever you want, onions, tomatoes, jalapeno peppers, you want pepper jack cheese, you want sausage, you want bacon, you want ham, you want it all together.
That's right. You pay for it, you get it. You ask for it.
Tell us what you want. You know. So I think as an entrepreneur, one of the beauties of being an entrepreneur is the ability to express yourself in a way that truly differentiates you. You are free to express yourself. yourself. And that's what makes entrepreneurs so beautiful, I think.
That's right.
And
you know?
In part and parcel with that, the entrepreneur needs to assess who they're dealing with. In other words, are we dealing with an analytic? Because if we are, this individual wants us to demonstrate how we help in terms of numbers and percentages.
Mm-hmm.
An analytic individual is going to want to see graphs and charts.
That's right.
But if we're dealing with an expressive, an individual that thinks in terms of pictures, literally in their mind, and they're much more expressive, well, to approach them with graphs and charts is going to put them to sleep.
That's right.
So this is yet another distinction in our society today, the fact that people want to be dealt with in a way that, that links and aligns with their personality style.
That's right. And one of the things that I butt head with entrepreneurs about is the importance of them investing in themselves, because I years ago I worked with the DISC instrument that like the Myers-Briggs that people use. And a lot of entrepreneurs didn't think that that's something that they need to invest into. And you got to invest in yourself so that you know the importance of investing in to the clients and the people that you want to serve. Because as you say, just like a supervisor needs to know the staff that they are working with, you need to know the clientele, and you cannot turn up there to figure them out. When you open that door to walk into that appointment, you're supposed to know them as much as if you were dealing with them for a long time, because you have the opportunity to do the research, to find out about their company, asking questions and all of that stuff. So don't go there, because it will catch you from the blind side, and you're going to be there sitting down, don't know what to say and what to do. So you've got to be clear.
Yeah, you know, sometimes salespeople will say to me, "Hey, Duane, I don't have the time to do all this research."
Wow. Well, you don't have time to go to the customer yet. You're not ready yet.
Yeah, and I mean, there is a legitimate concern there. You know, if you're trying to make a significant number of contacts, the thought of doing a great deal of research on each company may be prohibitive. So here's what I find to be highly effective along that line, is to study the industry. When you look at your product or service, you'll find that you really are best suited to serve several different industries. And the thing to do is to identify what those industries are. Are you real strong in medical? Are you strong in the professions, such as attorneys and accountants? You know, does your product and service really help manufacturers or distributors? When you identify how your product and service helps an industry, then what you do is you go and study that industry. So that when you approach someone, if you've decided to learn a great deal about manufacturing because you can help them, now what you're learning about the manufacturing industry, you can use that knowledge with virtually any manufacturing company that you call on. Because if one manufacturer in Pollen, Connecticut, having a challenge getting raw goods into their facility because of gasoline prices and regulatory issues, well, you can pretty much count on the fact that a similar manufacturer in New Britain, Connecticut, is also having similar problems. And now you go into having a discussion with either business with some knowledge that demonstrates that you've done some research, you are a specialist in this industry, And you are a credible individual. It's very, very powerful.
And with that knowledge accessible to you, now you can tailor, design the service that you're going in to offer the person.
Absolutely.
Because you come and say, "Yes, I know that's happening that day. Here is what we can do to modify it for it to work for you."
Absolutely. And, of course, you will go on the company's website, but you only need to go on there for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What markets are they in? What products and services do they have? Is there an article that was written by the president? Look at their mission statement. And that quick research along with your deep understanding of the industry, really prepares you to have an intelligent business conversation, ask meaningful and relevant questions, and make it all about them. And now you're truly establishing credibility and trust and standing out.
Exactly, because they realize, hey, Daphne really wants to make a difference in my business. It's not about the paycheck. She really wants to make a difference in my business and want my business to grow and my staff to experience better. So now they are leaning forward to you and buying into what you're offering.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. I want to remind the people in the chat room and also on the phones, call in. You have a question, please call in. The number is 646-915-8166. And I am in conversation with Mr. Duane Cassing out of Connecticut. And he is a guru and an authority on closing and selling to people who we consider are difficult people. He has carved his way in this community and can help us get our act together. So call in. This might be your only opportunity to get his undivided attention, to ask him that burning question that you have. And you can do so by calling 646-915-8166. Now, would you like to create a list for us, if you may, that we can fit into our plan, how to design the questions we are supposed to ask?
Yeah, absolutely.
How to begin the research, and, you know, what are some things that can help us to enjoy the process? Because some people are not research oriented, but if we can set it up and structure it in a way that we begin to enjoy the process, then it will grow on us. So what are some things we can do, Duane?
Well, the first thing is to take this issue of studying the industries very, very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell, I can say quite honestly that if you are to capture someone's attention, you know, we live in a world today, I read something not long ago that said in a day, you receive about the same information that your grandparents did in a full year.
Wow.
With your smartphone, your tablet, the radio, the internet, we are barraged with information. And when you think about it, a human being is going to have to develop an ability to deal with that, or their head will explode. You cannot pay attention to everything today. So
wow.
What people have learned to do as a natural defense mechanism, we have learned to ignore things.
Mm-hmm.
And we filter. So think of that for a moment. You're approaching a prospect. You want to have a conversation with them. You want to try to help them in some way. But they're seeing you as noise.
Mm-hmm.
Just another piece of information, just another phone, just another message to return, another email to return. It's noise.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to break through that so that they pause is for us to send them a message that says to them, I understand a little bit about your world.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand business today and the industries. So what I've created for salespeople to help them remember this is an acronym. It's TITO. It's T-I-T-O. TITO.
T-I-T-O. And the first T is for?
Trends.
And the I?
Issues.
And the other T?
Threats.
And the O?
Opportunities. This is how we can capture someone's attention. This is a formula. What you'll find is that it doesn't matter how big or small the company is. We can be talking about a financial planner who is going to go meet in someone's kitchen and meet with a husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can talk about meeting with a vice president in a large corporation to sell them a massive software package. It doesn't matter. In every instance, the individual that we're going to be talking with is facing trends.
Mm-hmm.
There are trends in society. There are trends in business that are going to affect the people where we want to help.
Mm-hmm.
If a trend is not, if we do not identify a trend, then what happens is issues start to emanate from the trend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, example is a couple of years ago when gasoline prices began that significant upward trend.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 3 years ago when it was, you know, breaking $4 a gallon. At that point in time, Detroit was making most of their profit from the sale of SUVs and pickup trucks.
Mm-hmm.
What that meant is that local automobile dealerships obviously have quite an inventory of SUVs and pickup trucks.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the trend is that the gasoline prices started to go up. The issue it created is that people cannot afford pickup trucks and SUVs.
Mm-hmm.
So it created an issue for the car dealerships because they can't sell these products. And now it became a serious threat to their business because they're carrying the monthly payment on all those cars and trucks in their inventory.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask a question before you move on with this formula, because as I view what I wrote here and what you said, it came apparent to me that as I look on trends and issues, not only can it be from a corporate or a business perspective, but it can also be from a personal perspective. So I would come into that position at the business, and I'm experiencing some personal trends or issues, and it is going to affect the way that I do business. Is that accurate to say?
That's totally accurate. Let's use this for an example. Let's say you want to talk to a small business owner. A small business owner is forced to wear many different hats.
Mm-hmm.
They are challenged to get everything done in a 24-hour period. Small business owners are really, really stressed with managing their time.
Mm-hmm.
The trend there is that that's getting even worse. The issue that that could create for that entrepreneur is if they do not find the time to identify their priorities and what is most important to them personally in their business, there's going to be some threat.
Mm-hmm.
They may not pay attention to the couple of employees they have. A competitor may be coming out with a new product that is going to hurt them. Their health might be threatened because they're not getting any exercise, they're working late hours, and they're not eating well.
Mm-hmm.
So it does relate to an individual personally as well as a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the trends, when we understand the issues, when we understand the threats, and then the opportunities that are before us, now we can have a very insightful conversation with a prospect and help them, truly help them, and gain credibility.
That is powerful, I tell you. Even if you had not said anything else in this conversation, this formula is a hit that we can all use.
And frankly, I didn't sit back and purposely create the formula. It unfolded before me as I observed business people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm in meetings, whether it's with a small organization or large, they are concerned about the trends that are bearing down on them and their life and their business.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
they
right.
They want to know, what's going to happen if I don't deal with this? How is this going to help or hurt me?
That's right. And this is why conversations like these are so important, because we don't always need to go out there to reinvent the wheel. This is something that you have spent a great amount of time into observing and creating and sharing with us. So we can learn from what you have done without going out there and experiencing the pitfalls and things and the ditches that you have fallen into. And this is why these conversations are so powerful.
Yeah, sometimes there's such power in simple things, isn't there?
Exactly. A lot of times people want to make things be so complicated. And I am such an advocate for sticking to the basics. Not that people do not support change, but a lot of times we don't need to undo things. And what is so beautiful about being an entrepreneur is that we have the ability to couple our authenticity with our uniqueness. And that's what is setting us apart from everybody else. So when we use that and we do all the other things, study the industry, understand what the people are about, identify our priorities, all of those things, nobody's going to be able to stand up to us because we have created a platform that sets us way above the competition.
Yeah, it's really true, and I think you've hit on something very important, I think, and that is that it is very unproductive for us to ever compare ourselves to anyone else.
That's right.
As an entrepreneur, as you said, we can meld our authenticity with our passions, and that cannot be replicated.
That's right.
And if we compare ourselves to other people, what we end up doing is we try to mirror them, and by doing so, we destroy our uniqueness.
That's right. I remember years ago, I was at a conference in D.C., and I was in a conversation with this woman, and she asked me what I did, and I explained to her. I said, "Oh, you like Les Brown?" I said, "No." I say, I love and respect Les a lot, but I say, Les is not trying to do me and I'm not doing him. We stand apart by ourselves. The one thing that's kind of similar is that we touch people's lives. But I say, I'm not trying to be Les. And I know Les sure don't want to be me. And I tell you, Duane, I don't know where the time went, but I know they say time go by when you're having fun. We have just a mere 8 minutes remaining. And I just want for you to summarize our conversation, leave us with some high points that you want us, even if we forget anything else, you want us to focus on these points. And also tell people how they can get in touch with you at the end of that thing.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think that when I look at doing business today, when I look at people that are very successful, even in a down economy, they first are students.
Mm-hmm.
They are studying. They are studying their industries that they serve. They're studying the trends that they face, the issues that they face, the threats. And then they identify opportunities in that, ways they can help. So make sure that we're a student first and a lifelong student.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second thing is then we're the business person.
Mm-hmm.
And the business person has the ability to take observations they've made in the business community and translate those into value, business value.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing is that's when we become the salesperson, because if we've shown someone we have insight and we understand and we have business ideas on how they can improve, the sale will automatically close. We do not need manipulative formulas the way we did many years ago when it was a seller's market, and we just needed to give that buyer a push to go ahead and take their checkbook out and write that check then. You know, they wanted it anyway. We pushed them, and okay, they took out the check. That's not how it works today, and it's important to keep that in mind.
Wonderful. Wow, this is powerful stuff. Please tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Thank you, Daphne. My email is duane@duanecashin.com. It's D-U-A-N-E. And my last name is spelled just like it sounds. It's Cashin, C-A-S-H-I-N, duane@duanecashin.com. And my website is duanecashin.com. And if you want my phone number, it's 860-916-7081.
Ah, well, I am so thankful that you spend the time again to invest in my vision and purpose and calling, and also in the lives and careers of the listeners across the world, because it's literally being heard across the world. And I know I was laughing when you pronounced your name, and I'm saying, well, didn't he really help us and prepare us to go cash in this morning? So
yeah.
I want to thank you. So just go ahead and repeat your information again.
My phone number is area code 860-916-7081. And my email is Dwayne@DwayneCashin.com. And Dwayne is D-U-A-N-E, Cashin, C-A-S-H-I-N. Dwayne@DwayneCashin.com.
All right. So thank you. And I do look forward to the future. Who knows what's in store for us and whether we'll be sharing the platform together. But I do look forward to building this relationship and to see how we can indeed add value to this work. So,
yeah, I'd look forward to following up with you and learning more about your event in New York City in March.
Yes, yes. And I just want to thank you so, so very much. And just to thank you for the work that you are doing and have been doing for a great number of years, and to help us to kind of place our feet solid, kind of cement us down to know, yes, we can do great things above all for ourselves and for the lives of our family. Again, I thank you, Dwayne, for joining me this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity, Daphne.
It was a great opportunity. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. What an amazing dialogue with Mr. Dwayne Cashin from right here in Connecticut. Quite knowledgeable and an authority on what we need to do to make a difference and to close the sale. And I am so excited about today's show, and I pray that this will help you to stay focused on your calling and your destiny and to begin to do great things in your lives and in the lives of your family. Stay blessed.
I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you. my destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah.